silence the phones, and we're going to look at what can God do through you and me. What God can do through you and me. And this is so important. I want you and I to look again at the value system of Moses. We rushed through it last week because of the anniversary. We're going to recap a few things this morning. And I want us to look at the value system of Moses. If we can implement that value system. Because remember what I said. If you don't have a value system, somebody will have it for you. Somebody will make up your mind. Somebody will influence you in a derogative way. Moses decided on three things. And they are so important. That decision, the things that he decided on, was so important that if it wasn't for those three things, we will not remember who Moses was. If Moses had not made these decisions on those three things, we wouldn't be here talking about him. We will say, Moses who? There would be no prominent Moses. And as we look at those three things that he decided on, and I want you and I to look at it ourselves. He decided these three things. Number one, be yourself. He came to a point as he had grown up that he's going to decide. Can I imitate somebody? Can I be myself? Who am I? Look at yourself. Who am I? Be yourself. Don't try and impress people. Don't try and win people's favor. Don't try and make adjustments depending on the crowd or the masses. Be yourself. And then you notice the second one, accept responsibility for your own life. There's only one person that can screw your life up. That's you. That's you. I'm the only one that can screw my life up. You can't do it for me. Others can't do it. I can do it myself. I'm the only one that can do it. And we in an era today where there's just the blame game. Now, the blame game is nothing new. It started off with Adam and Eve. There was a heavy blame game there. Oh, the woman you gave me. You know that conversation? Accept responsibility for your own life. And then the third one is so important. Establish a value system for your life. What is your value system? In other words, is it a value system that appeases people? Is it a value system that fluctuates depending on the circumstances? Or is your value system rooted in the Word of God? If we are followers of God, we've got to have a value system that's rooted in the Word of God. Does it mean we're perfect? Oh, come on. There's no such thing as perfection within the fallen race. Because, and God has made room for that. Because he says, if you sin, what must you do? Confess. So that means there's no perfection over here. We're living in a fallen world. But Moses decided that God's purpose is more valuable than what? More valuable than, not that, popularity. Moses decided that God's purpose is more valuable than popularity. In Hebrews 11:24, we recap quickly. It is by what? What is faith? Can you see faith? Strange. The things of God are so different. It's not obviously tangible. It's by faith. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, when he could make some good decisions. Some people grow up and still make stupid decisions. When he grew up, notice the highlights. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Think a little bit of what we've just read. It was by faith. Couldn't see things, but through the eye of faith he could see. So is there then a difference between natural living and spiritual living? Yeah, huge. The natural living lives by what? Sight. The spiritual living lives by faith. But the faith is not blind faith. The faith is what's written in the Bible, even about the future. So if we say, I'm living by faith and looking forward to the city of God, is that a pathetic statement? Is it a disillusionment? You're looking for a city that you cannot see now. You're looking for that city. What you been smoking, mate? Come on. I only see that when I'm high. Now, by faith, it has been written. So by that, what is written, I'm looking forward to it, although I cannot see it because God said it. Now, think a little bit. You had grown up, refused to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Do you think for any given moment, let's pause for a moment, son of Pharaoh's daughter. Firstly, who's Pharaoh? Most powerful man on the face of the earth. Conquered nations, controls nations. Pharaoh's daughter. If I had the title, I'm a son of Pharaoh's daughter. Is that prominence throughout the world? Could I go anywhere and I say, this is the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What would other people think of me? A person that is very powerful. He was second in command. Not only was he second in command, this Moses, he was in line to be Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the face of the earth. He was a big man at the pyramids. He had status. People bowed before him. He had all the kind of popularity that most people today would say, I'd give my right arm to have that kind of popularity. To be treated with such royalty. Everything at his disposal. Did he lack anything? No. Did he have everything? Yeah. Everything was at his command. Moses could just snap the fingers and he got it. Maybe we can call him a spoiled brat. But yet I find Moses knew that popularity doesn't last. Think about this. You might even have a position today in the world. That position won't necessarily last. Everything comes and goes. For the average person working out, we're just pawns out there. You can be the most popular person. You can get your picture on the cover of Newsweek. Or even maybe if you're lucky enough, you will have your picture on Vogue. But a year from now, nobody will actually know who you are. Why not? Because it comes and it goes. The wave comes and the wave goes back. So popularity is only for a short period of time. You will have been replaced by the latest fad if your pictures were any of on those magazines. And the thing I like about Moses, he was not impressed about himself. Why not? Moses wanted God's purpose in his life. And that's where we are today. We want God's purpose in our lives. I want God's purpose in my life. He said, I'd rather be a slave fulfilling God's purpose than be the king of Egypt. The man that had everything at his disposal. The man that could order, give commands, and everybody has to obey. And if they don't, the possibility of their life taken away from them. And this man with such popularity and authority says, I'd rather be a slave fulfilling God's purposes. Hey. That is a big statement. I'd rather be a slave. How many of us will voluntarily be a slave? Be used and abused. I'd rather be a slave fulfilling God's purpose than be the king of Egypt with all the popularity and not in God's purpose or in God's plan. Why did he do this? Because he said God's purpose is more valuable than popularity. Popularity comes and goes. God's purpose leads into blessing after blessing throughout eternity. So Moses decided to be himself and recognize that God's purpose is more valuable than popularity. Number two, people are more valuable than pleasures. That's what he said. I want us to look at Hebrews 11:25. Hebrews 11:25, the Message translation says, he chose a hard life. He chose it. You know, we've got the saying, and we say it a lot around here, rather work smarter, not harder. But here I find a man that said, he chose a hard life with God's. Notice the distinction. He chose a hard life with who? Than the life with none of God's people. There's a distinction made here, guys. Once you've made that distinction, guess what? All hell breaks loose. Once you make a distinction and you've decided I'd rather be with God's people, even within your own families, when you make that decision to be with God's people rather than with your own family, you're going to get ridiculed. You're going to get criticized. You'll see it in the workforce. I can't do this because I'm part of God's people. You'll be ostracized. But he said he chose a hard life with God's people rather than an opportunistic soft life of sin with the oppressors. So I find two kingdoms in operation here. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Although I do see that the kingdom of light is greater than the kingdom of darkness, but at this point in time, the kingdom of darkness was ruling, but he chose to be with the light. And there were consequences. He chose to be mistreated. Given this situation, I ask myself, how would I react? How would you react? Moses chose pain over pleasure. Where do we fit into this picture? Do I choose pain for God over pleasure? We come into this world with this body that wants pleasure. And then we get to know God's word and we say, whoa, some of the pleasures is in conflict with God's word. This pleasure's got to go so I can honor God. And that's exactly what Moses did. He chose pain over pleasure. He chose discomfort over ease. Why? Because he said people are more valuable than pleasures. In other words, he had a value system. I know who I am now. I've got a value system in place. People are more important than pleasure. Moses said he'd go with the people of God because people are more important to him than the pleasures he was enjoying as the daughter of Pharaoh. And God's purpose is more important than popularity. In other words, it's a matter of values. And yet we get to where we are today. What is your value system? What is my value system? How do I develop this value system? I've got to align it with the word of God to the best of my ability. It's a matter of values. We love people and we use things. What happens is we get those reversed. And we get into trouble when we do what? When we start loving things and start using people to get the things that we love. Let's look at this place. Where could this place be? Yes, God. Where could this place be without people? There's nothing. How could we have such a fantastic anniversary without people? But with the people, we enjoyed some good things. So we have our priorities right. Things are always to be used. Think about that. Things are always to be used and not loved. Because they are things. And that is our value system. With the decision that Moses made, peace came upon him. Peace came within him. Because God's peace is more valuable than possessions. Look at that. God's peace, far more valuable than possessions. And there's some things in life that are more important than things. There is wonderful peace of mind that comes about you, a satisfaction, a sense of fulfillment, when you know you in God's will and that you cannot be bought. No matter what people offer you, no matter what people will present to you, I'll give you this if you will just do that. But that contradicts the word of God within me, so I refuse to do it no matter what you pay me. Because I want the peace of God and maintain the peace of God. In other words, you cannot buy a peace of mind. I can give you my mind. I can give you my thoughts, but you can't buy peace of mind. That peace of mind only comes through a value system that you and I have established through the Word of God. Now, we are all learning. We make mistakes. We make some terrible mistakes. We learn from them because it contradicts the Word of God, and then we get back to the Word of God. But you can't buy peace of mind. It is true. Oh, now, maybe you can disagree with me, and you can say no. You can't buy happiness. Think about that. You can buy happiness. Yes, I know we say God's people are happy people and happy people shine. But our happiness is through Jesus Christ. The joy of the Lord brings about the happiness. But you can buy happiness. If we go into the natural thinking and the natural sense in the normal lifestyle in which you and I am living, I can be happy if I buy a boat. I've always wanted a boat. So I go buy the boat. And I'm out on the lake. Man, this boat is fantastic. Am I happy? Yeah. Of course I'm happy. Come on, guys. I'll get you on the boat. You got a pontoon? Let's get them on the pontoon. We got a ski boat? Let's get the guys behind us skiing. And off we go to the point that now the boat actually takes the place of Sundays in my life. Because it's nice weather, you know. I've been in church the whole month and the whole 3 months and the whole 4 months. But you know what? The sun is shining. And now we form a new habit. Let's go skiing on Sundays. But the boat buys me the happiness for a short while. Because after 6 months, something happens. I need a bigger boat. I just need a boat that's got more oomph to it. You know, this thing's too slow, man. I need a bigger boat. I need a boat with more power to it. And then I go, and you know what? I know the budget doesn't allow it, but I convince myself the budget is there to go and buy it. And more than that, I see a deal, 0% interest over 5 years. Honey, we're buying a bigger boat. 0% interest. Oh, no payment for it. Oh, we are fools, I tell you. Thank God I don't operate that way. But in any case, I'm happy. I've got a bigger boat. I've got bigger motors. And the boat goes. Which means I bought happiness for a while again. It's nice to be happy. Only for a while. And then 5 years is a long time to be a slave. paying that thing off while it depreciates. Not a good decision. But after a while, I recognize the boat doesn't make me happy anymore. And now I need another toy. For me, now I need another gadget. I don't need gadgets. I love them, but I don't need the gadgets. And sometimes I just buy it because I'm bored. I want you to take note of this. Your happiness is determined by your character. That's important for us to know this. And I want us to refer to Moses' character as well. And the choices you make, look at the next slide. Your character is determined by what? Your choices. You know, always somebody say, well, what kind of a Christian is? Somebody would always say, well, watch where his money goes. Your character is determined by your choices. Your choices are what? By your values. Your choices are determined by your values. Your values are determined by what? In other words, what are you seeing? What do you have your eyes on? Are your eyes on the now? Are your eyes on this world? Or are you looking beyond this, enjoying what is available over here, but you're looking way past? That's very difficult to do, to look beyond what we're seeing now. Because we know people just live out. What was the oldest man in Ireland? I think it was 108 years. He just died the other day. I said, 108? Ooh, yay, yay, yay. Okay, but we find that our values are determined by our vision. And I think we are all very short-sighted. It's difficult to think about heaven. It's difficult to think about the life after death. Yet the Bible refers to that over and over and over again. That's why Moses said, I don't want pleasure. I don't want possessions. Why not? They don't last. And the problem is, so many of us have so much to live on and so little to live for. What am I living for? What am I living for? Ask yourself that question. What am I living for? If we can change the mind, if you and I can change the thinking, the problem is so many of us have so much to live on. Are we in poverty? No, we're not. No, we're not. But we spend our life working, working, working because sometimes we got ourselves into a mess because we never had a disciplined life. And then we're working two jobs, three jobs, yeah, no inflation, etc., etc. But the problem is so many of us have so much to live on and so little to live for. Give you the reality check. Who am I living for? For things, I try my best to live for him. I want to live for him. Because when this life goes to the ground, if it does, I'm hoping it will be raptured before then. Because it's a waste for this thing to go to the ground. And it needs to, boom, transform. Quick, quick. The reason I live for him, because there's a value system. This is going to the ground or raptured. It's only temporary. Whatever you have now is only temporary. Whatever I have is only temporary. We're marching on to the ultimate that God has prepared for those that love him. So I've got to look much further than what I'm looking now. And that's why Moses did say, I don't want pleasure. I don't want possessions. And I don't want to live with the things because I've got so much. There's got to be more meaning to life. And the only meaning to life is Jesus. There is no other meaning to life. Jesus said a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he possesses. Yet we spend all of our life acting as if it's not true. Luke 12:15. And he went on to say to them all, watch out. Oh, when you see that watch out, take note. Guard yourselves. There's got to be protection from every kind of greed. Because your true life is not made up of the things of what you own. No matter how rich you may be. Notice that. Your true life is not made up of the things you own. So the things I own does not really determine who I am. But sometimes the things that I own determines what my character is like. There's more to life than things. And that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And now I find Moses doing something phenomenal. Rejecting power, rejecting pleasure, rejecting possessions. Why? Moses, why? Because he had a value system. And I would encourage every single one of you this morning, establish a biblical value system in your life. Like people would say to me, don't you drink? No, I don't. I've got a value system. Don't you smoke? No, because I've got a value system. Now, yes, there are other things that I do that I'm not supposed to do. And when I do it, I say, God, please forgive me. That's not part of the value system. So my value system increases, increases, increases. Now, does it mean I can't do that? For instance, we're just using the two. Does it mean, as a child of God, if I smoke, I'm going to hell? No, it doesn't say that. But I do know it's not pleasing to God. Getting drunk is not pleasing to God. So I want a value system that pleases God. Killing a baby is not pleasing to God. So I don't want that. I want a value system that's as close to the Bible as possible. And the only way that I can develop this value system is getting to know the Word of God that lays it out for me. And that's where the conflict comes. Because within your value system and my value system, we will have differences of opinions. Well, I don't see it that way. I don't see it this way. I believe you can do that. I can believe, oh, you're just a fanatic. You're just holier than thou. Well, those ridicules, the ridicule given to me is the same as given to Moses. So I want to establish this value system. So why did he reject power? Why did he reject pleasure? Why did he reject possessions? Because he found out who he was. He knew who he was. Because he had faith in God. And also Hebrews 11:26, the second section. For he was looking what? Where was he looking? I thought he had to go to Canaan. No? Was he looking beyond Canaan? Maybe he had too much garlic. He was looking forward to the great reward. What reward? And who's going to give him this reward? So you want to tell me if I die, there's a God out there, I'm going to meet him someday? What happens if I don't believe it? Is he still there? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I don't hear anything. But he's there. And he set the pace and he set the rules. This God. He's looking forward. And he has the question. How many of us are looking forward? Next Sunday, the signs in the sky. Next Sunday, things that are leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. We see them happening like this. You want to tell me this Jesus that was here 2,000 years ago that disappeared into heaven, he's coming back to this earth again? Yeah? Yeah? And nobody's going to stop him. Nobody's going to boycott him. They can even try and shoot him with missiles. Nothing's going to happen. Because he was looking ahead to his reward. He was looking ahead. That word, looking ahead, is a continuous action. Greater perspective than what he was seeing here and now. In other words, he was living in light of eternity. So let's bring it down to where we are today. We're going to die somewhere along the line. Cliff says he wants to get to 100. God bless Sue. But in any case, so I don't want to live to 100. But here we have limited age, very limited age. So did God just design me to live to 80, 90, 100? Or did he actually design me to live eternally? You see, God doesn't just work on the short term. He works on the long term stuff. He designed man to live eternally. But because of sin, we are going to live eternally in one of two places. I'm either going to live eternally in his presence with him, or I'm going to live in a place that was not designed for the human being. But that's where the human being that rejects God is going to live throughout all eternity. So here's the question then. Is there life after death? Who says? Have you experienced that? How do you know? What did you say? Faith. Faith. Based on the word of God. Is God a man that he should lie? No. So then I've got to believe him. I've got to believe his word. Moses was living in the light of eternity. Moses had his values right. Why? Come on, guys. We touched on it earlier on about the character. Moses had his values right because of his, starts with a V, his vision. Because of his vision. And that's why he was living in light of eternity. So his values were right because he had the right vision. So the encouragement to you, to me this morning, never take your eyes off the goal. What is the goal? What is the goal? To become the top management in your company? To make as much money as possible? What is my goal? To see him face to face one day and hear him say, "Well done, you faithful servant. Well done, you faithful servant." The goal is to see him face to face one day because of everything that he's done in my life. It says he was looking ahead beyond the here and the now, and it was continuous action. He kept on looking. He was a man of vision. He had eyes of faith. He continually visualized his goal. He was persistent. Oh, Hebrews 11, 27. Oh, that beautiful chapter. And it was because he did what? Ah, that's where it is, guys. Who do we trust today? We've got to trust God. Don't trust politicians. It was by, geez, I can't say it. I've been really trying to put Wednesday nights into practice. Lord, change my attitude before it's too late. And it was because he trusted God that he did what? Moses, why the heck did you leave Egypt? Why? There was enough food. There was enough garlic. There was enough onions. There was everything. He left the land of Egypt. Notice something very beautiful over here. He trusted God, left the land of Egypt of plentiful, and what's the highlight? Wasn't? He wasn't afraid. Of who? The most powerful man on all the earth. He wasn't afraid. Why not? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. Give him a great hand. And wasn't afraid of the king's what? Anger. Moses kept right on going. Why? Vision. Faith. It seemed as though he could see God right there with him. Was God right there with him? Yes, sir. All the way. Is God right there with you? All the way. All the way. So you keep on going. Let them say what they want to. Let them spew their hatred. Let them call you names. You're looking beyond that. You're seeing God. You're seeing the future in Christ. You're seeing your eternal home. You see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Moses never took his eyes off the goal. To live an effective Christian life, we need to stay focused. And now, here comes the one you and I don't want to hear. We can never make progress without problems. Let that sink in. You can never make progress without problems or challenges. It's inevitable. Once you have a value system, a new set of problems initiate that you never had before. Once you make a decision to follow Christ, a new set of challenges come into your life that you've never bargained for. Because you decided to follow Jesus Christ, and darkness is not happy. There were enormous problems in the purpose that God had given Moses for his life. Enormous problems. Once Moses decided to look beyond and got the vision, major problems. What were they? Red Sea. How's he going to get over the Red Sea? Those are just one of the problems. But how are you going to transport over 2 million Jews out of one country across the most desolate piece of land in the world without food and water? How are you going to do that? How? My mate, that's all you got is faith. But is that enough? The just shall live without faith. It is possible to please God. And now we've got to develop that within our lives. And that is developed through challenges, through problems, leading over 2 million people apart from the animals, without food and water, get them into Canaan land. How are you going to convince Pharaoh to let these 2 million slaves go? These are enormous problems, guys. When I start calculating in my mind, let's stop. I'm just going to be a slave. Let them just give me the food. I can't take this upon myself and lead 2 million people and all the animals out into a wilderness that's the most desolate place. Where am I going to get water to feed? And the people are saying we're hungry. The people say we're thirsty. Shut up. Enormous problems in the purpose God had given Moses, but he persevered. Why? He focused on the goal and not the problem. And sometimes we focus on the problem and we get defeated. Look beyond it. Yes, we're going to have trials in this world. Yes, we're going to have difficulties in this world. And then I'm reminded of another individual that's such an inspiration to all of us, as all the other disciples are great inspiration, except Judas Iscariot. He's no inspiration. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, contemporary English version. Let's say that read together. We turn to somebody and point your finger and say, we never give up. We never. Do it to everybody. We never give up. But here's the bad news. Since you made that statement, here's the bad news. Our bodies are? Yeah, talk to me about it. Oh, the knee. Oh, the hip. Oh, the eye. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Our bodies are gradually dying. You think you are beautiful now? Wait a bit. No matter how old you are, you're still beautiful. Because you're created in the likeness and image of God. But notice the contrast, guys. Notice the contrast. We never give up, right? Our bodies are gradually dying, right? But we ourselves are what? Being made stronger. I'm seeing the goal. We are being made stronger each day. Now listen to what Paul says. These little troubles. What little troubles? These difficulties, these problems that you and I face, these little, little troubles. Excuse me, sir. Define little. These little troubles are getting us ready. Wow, guy, 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 guy. These little troubles are getting us ready, preparing us for what? You seeing the vision? You're seeing beyond. These little troubles are getting us ready for an eternal glory that will make all our troubles like what? Seem like nothing. You see, Paul was living in the light of eternity as well. Well, let's consider what Paul's little afflictions were. Beaten 3 times, nearly to death. Shipwrecked twice. I don't think he had a floating device. Received 40 stripes with a whip on his back 5 times. Sick, in prison, beaten, without food, without clothes, oftentimes left alone to die. And Paul calls these things little afflictions. I'd hate to see the big ones. What are the big ones? So if we see what he's gone through and he calls them little afflictions and we haven't even experienced some of those afflictions, what do you call my affliction then? No affliction compared to his afflictions, right? Paul says these things are light afflictions. Why? Why does he make that statement? It's a matter of perspective. What is he looking at? The goal. What is he looking at? Seeing Jesus face to face. These are light afflictions. This world is going by. We're only pilgrims in this world. And Paul says, God's purpose for your life is always greater than the problems in your life. God's purpose for your life is always greater than the problems in your life. If you're going to look at the short-term or the short-range problems, guess what? You're going to get discouraged. But if you look at the long-range benefits to your life, you will see God's purpose and you will not be discouraged. In other words, God can use you. God can use me. In this day and age, look at this. God can use you. And he can use me to do the impossible, to go through the impossible. What must I do? Trust and follow him. Did Moses trust and follow him? Yeah. When Moses had all the negative reports, it was easy for him to succumb. But he didn't succumb. People that have got the right vision, people that have got the right value system, do not succumb to what people say or think. Because they settled in their heart. They know who they believe. And they go forward no matter what the cost. Why? We never give up. Nor do we give in, because we are going to see him face to face one day. Trust and follow him. Can we pray together? Father, I thank you for this.